Now we want to listen to God's word. If you have a Bible, please open your Bible to the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. It is also shown on the screen in Japanese. Now, let me read the passage, Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord our God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame, the people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far. In all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, we and our kings, our princesses, and our ancestors are covered with shame, Lord, because we have sinned against you. Lord, our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God, or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. Daniel, when he was in his when he was a teenager, was captured and was taken to Babylon as a prisoner. And until he was 80 years old, he carried out the mission that was given to him. What was the mission that was given to him? His mission was to live by faith, believing in God. That he accomplished in his life. It is very difficult to keep your faith to the very end of your life. And also to place God, it is very difficult to place God when you're trying to make difficult judgments in your life. And I realize that every day. And if you look at the life of Daniel, you know, there are many, many challenges that was difficult to overcome. You know, the things that he wanted didn't not necessarily materialize. He lived in a very difficult circumstances, but he believed in God. And he kept on making decisions that pleases God. And that's what he did. He was a man of faith. So then how did he live his life? Completing the mission that was given to him in his life. And that has related to the passage we just read. So now let's learn first, where was he in this story? If you look at verse 1 of today's chapter, in the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, we learned about the background about this in chapters 5 and 6 of the book of Daniel. You know, the Babylonian Empire was overthrown, and the Media and Persia Empire came forward. So the Jewish people were captured and taken as prisoners, and they had to live for 70 years in the new land. But Daniel was able to achieve social status as well. He was able to live as a man of faith. And now, you know, he had a high position in the Babylonian Empire, but the Babylonian Empire disappeared. Now the Media Persia Empire has come. And then they have a new king named Darius. So when it comes to the end of life, when he came near the end of his life, Daniel had to live at a time when the empire has changed. Daniel was a high government official in the Babylonian Empire, but he was originally a prisoner. But the power and the status that he had disappeared because of the new Media Persian Empire came about. So he was placed in a very difficult situation. So he was worried about himself, and he was also worried about the Jewish people. He wasn't sure if there is any future for the people of Israel. He was afraid that as the Babylonian Empire disappeared, the Jewish people might disappear. So he was in this, he was worried. So what did he do? And what he did is explained in verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So that's what it says. So at a time when the empires are changing, and that doesn't happen too often, but what Daniel did at this point was to read the Bible. He says it reading the scripture. So, and then he realized that desolation will last for 70 years, but after 70 years, the Israel will be reestablished as a nation. Although he was worried in a very unstable condition, but he realized that eventually, the Jewish people as a nation will be reestablished. So he realized that the gods will save them. Although many people rebelled and against God, disobeyed God, and betrayed God, but there will be a time soon that Jewish people will be able to go back to Jerusalem as a nation. So that's what he realized by reading the scriptures. This is God's word. This is what God's word does. When you have a problem, God's word in the Bible gives you the answer. the secret of Daniel's life, the reason why he was able to accomplish his mission in his life was that he read the Bible. He read the scriptures. He received God's word by reading the Bible. I sometimes think that even if you read the Bible almost daily, and when they have a problem in their lives, they don't read the Bible. That happens to many of us. Instead of reading the Bible for answers, we consult with other people. We get advice from experts, and we read secular books, and some people turn to fortune-telling. So, our religiousness is only... we are pretending to be religious in that sense. And we not, in that sense, we are denying our own religion. So for many of us, the God's word in the Bible is not treated as something that gives us the answer. But many of us just treating the knowledge in the Bible as a sort of education. Or some of us sometimes think of the God's word in the Bible as our Christian decorations. And we treat it as if the Bible does not have answers to problems that we have in everyday life. That's how we treat the God's word in the Bible sometimes. And then we don't even notice the fact that we do that. When we have a problem, we need to turn to the Bible. When we have a problem, we need to turn to the Bible. Of course, we can get some knowledge, good answers from other people's words, from experts, and they give us answers, superficial answers to us, but the root answers, those answers will not solve our root problems. If we should read the Bible when we have a crisis, we need to take positively the word of the Bible. Daniel took positively the power of God's word in the Bible. When he had a trouble, when he had a crisis, he turned to the word of God. Daniel, in that sense, differed from many of us. We need to learn from Daniel. And God has things he wants us to learn from Daniel. Daniel, although he was in a transition period at this time, with confusion and unease, but he seized God's word. When he had the biggest problem, he looked for answers in the Bible. Let's read verse 2 again. Chapter 2, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. When Daniel, when he had a crisis, when he had a difficulty, he read the scriptures. He read the words given to Jeremiah, and Daniel realized that the Jerusalem will be re-established through the word that was given to Jeremiah the prophet. So, when we are even close to death, when we are filled with fear and uncertainty, God always gives us hope that the people cannot give. Let's read Psalm 119, verses 92 through 93. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Now verse 50 of the same chapter. My comfort in my suffering is this: your promise preserves my life. God's word help us to live. God's word give us joy. God's word becomes a comfort to us. God's word does not perish us. Without God, we will perish. So, are we getting a source of life from God's word? Are we getting power from God's word? Or are we using just God's word as just decorations as Christians? If you seek God, if you seek God's word, that word will help you live, will give you joy. It will give you comfort and give you answers. As I told you my stories before, but 5 years ago, I wanted to quit as a pastor. I wanted to leave Megami Church. That's why I went to America, and I, that was my escape. But I escaped to theology school in America. I wanted to escape to America, and I thought I would feel more free. And I went to Fuller Theological Seminary, but I was filled with fear every day. I was kind of afraid of studying at the seminary. Meeting people was scary. I was full of fear, and I was afraid of losing money and be completely out of money and become homeless. But I had a family to feed, so I was really worried. Some of my international students at the seminary were working, instead of studying, at the seminary, they were working outside, and they were commuting from their dorms to their workplace. But I was afraid to work. But my wife was very bold and assuring. I was hesitant, very hesitant at that time to use a $1 bill. But on Sunday, she opened her wallet and she had about $60 in her wallet, and she gave all the money as an offering. When I saw that, I said, "Are you going to be okay?" But she said, It's okay. The God will help us. God will help us to help us live. I did not know what to say to her. My wife's faith helped me to live during that time. So, and I experienced what the Deuteronomy chapter 8 described. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 through 6. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart and whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestor had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord, your God, disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord, your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. That's what I experienced. That's what I experienced in my life. And of course, in those days, I was full of fear. In the midst of that fear, there is one thing I did. That helped me realize that this is the thing, this is what I need to do, was based on verse 3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And I thought, do really people live just based on the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord? So I wanted to see whether that's true. So I decided to read the Bible. When I was having difficulty, I read the Bible. When I didn't have time, I read the Bible. When I was overwhelmed with all the work I needed to do, I read the Bible. When I was full of fear and worry, I read the Bible. So that's what I did. I went to the library every morning. But before I went to the library, I went to this area called Prayer Garden on campus. So I always stopped there before going to the library and prayed and read the Bible. When I had a lot of homework, and when I felt like I did not want to read the Bible, but I always stopped at Prayer Garden and I prayed and read the Bible, and then I went to the library. So the Bible that I use at that time is my treasure. My advisor named Kyun Soo said to me, if you're going to be a pastor, you need to read the whole Bible at least 3 times in 1 year. And that's your lifeline. So that's, I wanted to practice that. And she introduced me to a book titled Eat This Book, written by Eugene Peterson. You know, the title is very clear, Eat This Book, meaning eat the Bible. It's a very straightforward book. So it means eat this book, eat the Bible, eat the God's Word. God's Word is the food that keeps us alive. Without this, we cannot live. You know, even if we are living right now, eventually we will wither. We will become old. And God wants us to, you know, eat with us. So Daniel, when he had trouble, he ate God's word. And he digested it and then used the nutrients. And he prayed. If you look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. I prayed to the Lord, my God, and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. So when he had difficulty, he read the Bible, and then he digested it and realized, came to a realization on important matters, and he prayed. And that's what we need to learn as well from Daniel. He was not just read the Bible. He was not just satisfied with reading the Bible or the scriptures. He didn't say, you know, this is the end of my work for the Lord just because I read the Bible. So it's not like, you know, just reading the Bible and saying to yourself, I'm a Christian, I read the Bible. It was not like that. He digested God's word when he read the Bible. Then that was led to his prayer. And of course, I want to talk about what he prayed in the next sermon. But, you know, sometimes we read a prayer, very routine prayers, but we should not be praying superficial prayers. You know, we need to pray deeply. When you pray to the Lord, the God's word become more meaningful. And when you have God's word, your prayer becomes real prayer as well. And then, of course, you have to digest God's word. You have to eat God's word. And sometimes we have our prayers and reading of the Bible completely separate, which is not good. Sometimes when people read the Bible but do not pray. Some people just pray but do not read the Bible. And that's not good. That's kind of a spiritual unbalanced diet. Unbalanced diet, you know, leads to bad health, right? So if we continue our spiritual unbalanced diet, our faith becomes our ideology instead of faith. You know, for example, we start to focus only on my understanding of Christianity, my understanding of the Bible, my understanding of the prayer, and so started to focus on me. So instead of having Jesus as a center, you become the center of your faith. So when you encounter God's word, you need to become humble. But sometimes we don't do that. We need to listen to God's small voice and need to become humble. But if we don't do that, our ideas becomes bigger and bigger. I told you about this book titled Coronavirus and Christ, and the author, John Piper, said that's the most important thing in my life is that God's word leads to my prayer, and God's word fills my prayer and lead me. So that's what he wrote. He also wrote, open the Bible. When you encounter God's word, you need to stand still, and then you need to pray. If we as Christians, if we pray, we need to read the Bible. If we read the Bible, we need to pray. The grace is there. That's the way we should, that's the road we should take. If you just read the Bible, or if you just pray, and you're just satisfied with yourself for doing that, then that's not good. There are some people who know a lot about the Bible and do not pray, and look down on people who pray too much. And there are some people who pray a lot, look down on people who know a lot about the Bible. You know, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. What does this mean? This means that God's word and prayer goes together. So even if we just read the Bible or just pray, if we do it completely separately, if we don't do both, that's not good. And of course, theology is about this, but ironically, the type of theology that is popular in the world is called liberal theology. Which does not teach the Bible as God's word and does not encourage Christians to pray. So that's the type of theology that's becoming more popular. Isn't it ironic? Why does this kind of theology begin? Because we don't connect God's word with our prayers. But Daniel is different. When there is God's word, there should be a prayer. When there is a prayer, there should be God's word. That's what God is teaching us. And God expects us to read the Bible and to pray. So connect the two. And when we connect the God's word and prayer, there's blessings for us. And there is a way forward when we connect the two. Let's walk on this path. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, You taught us through Daniel the importance of connecting God's word and prayer. We need to read the Bible. We need to pray. So instead of treating reading the Bible and prayer separately, we need to connect the two. And the blessings that we can receive when we connect the two. And we'll find a path that we want to walk on. Thank you for loving us. And as we walk on this path, we need to digest your word and pray. Today we had children come and they sang their songs, and I hope that they will connect the two. The children will connect the prayer and reading of the Bible. So please bless them. We thank you for God's word for today. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.